Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. We have a special treat today. We have three individuals joining us from Golden State Foods and the GSF Foundation. And we're going to talk about the mission and the vision and Golden State Foods Foundation and what they're doing both globally and locally. And we're also going to talk with each of the individuals about a special event that's coming up in just a few weeks here in Orange County. So I'm going to bring on the three individuals from Golden State Foods. They are Shelley Fry, John Page, and Annalisa Lukes. And I'm going to bring them on right now, and we're going to first welcome you all to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Say hello one at a time. Shelley?
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Shelley. How are you today?
Great. Thank you. And thanks for having us.
And we also have Annalisa. Hi, Annalisa.
Hi, this is Annalisa. Good morning.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. And John, you're with us as well?
Hi, Bill. This is John. How are you?
Hi. Great, John. Thanks very much. If you could, give us a little background on each of you. Where are you from and how did you get to Golden State Foods? Let's start with you, Shelley.
Okay, well, thank you. Happy to. So I'm originally from the OC right here in Orange County, although I've lived in Utah, New York, and France at various times throughout my life. I earned my undergrad and graduate degrees in communications at Brigham Young University in Utah, where I also taught as a professor in the School of Communications for several years. Prior to GSF, I served in a variety of communications roles for a number of different organizations, including the 2002 Salt Lake Olympic Organizing Committee, Touchstone Software, and Fieldbrook Productions. I also freelanced a number of years as a magazine writer and a book author. And then I came to GSF in 2002, right after the Olympics, as the Director of Corporate Communications, which was a newly created position at the time. And I now serve as the Vice President of Corporate Communications, overseeing all of the internal and external communications for the company. So that's me.
That's terrific. That's a great background, a very giving background. You've spent a lot of time in helping, it sounds like. And Annalisa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I was born in the Philippines and immigrated to the United States in Los Angeles right around the age of 13 or so with my family. And my background is in law and in business. I earned both a JD and an MBA. And my passion, when I say and rather than but, and my passion is really using whatever I can to help people, particularly helping people help others. It really is something that I enjoy thoroughly. So prior to coming to Golden State Foods in 2015, I fundraised quite a bit for organizations in Orange County in the areas of affordable housing, legal services, and also renewable energy. And I've also managed and run an office with regard to renewable energy and had responsibility for making sure that the office ran well over five different counties. So coming to GSF as the executive director of the foundation is a thrill because it enables me to gather together all the different skills and use whatever God-given talent I might have to help our company, engage our people, and give back to the community through our foundation.
That's fantastic. And I look forward to hearing about that. We're going to talk about the foundation in just a second, but first, let's get to know you a little bit, John. How about you and your background, and how'd you come to GSF?
Well, absolutely. Well, apparently, as you can see, I work with Shelley and Annalisa, and I'm happy to, and that's one of the things that attracted me to Golden State Foods are the people and their ethos and their passion for the community. I came to Golden State Foods 12 years ago by way of New York, New Jersey. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. And then, as Annalisa said, I immigrated to California in terms of the work and the opportunity. By profession, I'm a lawyer. I'm the senior vice president and chief corporate social responsibility officer and chief legal officer for Golden State Foods, and have been in this role for 12 years. Born and raised in Brooklyn to a single mom on government assistance who did not finish college, but later on went back and got her associate's degree. So in me and in my heart has always been about education and children and families in need, which we focus on. As you said, Annalisa, we'll talk about the foundation later on in that regard. But really, Golden State Food is both a company of who's determined to be a company of enterprise, but also a company of ethos and personality. And I like what we do for the community, which we're going to talk about somewhat today. Also, Golden State Foods also has blessed me in taking this job with being able to be chairman of the board of Tuskegee University, which is in Tuskegee, Alabama. So the reach and touch of Golden State Foods, its influence in the people, including the people on this phone, is more than just Southern California. It's actually globally, if not, and certainly nationwide.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. And, you know, for our listeners out there, Golden State Foods, you may or may not know of Golden State Foods, but they're one of the largest diversified suppliers to the food service industry. You've eaten their food. I can guarantee you they provide services to more than 125,000 restaurants and stores from its 45-plus locations on five continents. So I understand that your company makes a pretty good hamburger. Okay, but among other things. But Shelley, tell us a little bit more about Golden State Foods and its history and what the company does.
Sure. Happy to, Bill. Thanks. So Golden State Foods began in 1947 in Los Angeles. So we're actually just about to turn 70 next year, and we're very excited about that. We're going to celebrate big. But as you said, we're one of the largest diversified suppliers to the food service industry, and we service hundreds of leading brands in 60 countries on five continents, so all over the world. And, you know, approximately 125,000 restaurants and stores, so we have global reach. Our core businesses include the processing of liquid products, protein products, produce, dairy, and we operate a full-line distribution service all over the country and in selected parts of the world. And as has already been mentioned, we also operate the nonprofit charity, the GSF Foundation, which you'll hear more about in a few minutes. But we pride ourselves in being a values-based company with really proven performance in quality, innovation, and customer service. We're headquartered in Irvine, California, and we employ about 6,500 associates around the world.
And I've been to your headquarters, and it's apparent once you walk in that this is a very different corporate headquarters, focusing on a creed and values. And John, tell us how that plays out every day at Golden State Foods.
Well, you know, one of the things that makes it tough in business is bringing your judgment to bear on various decisions, whether it's a transaction, whether it's a personnel matter, or whether it's a new engagement. But if you have a filter, creed and values, which we have, which, as you know, we actually have on the back of all of our business cards. It's part of what we share with our associates when they begin. It's on the walls globally and in the world, in Egypt, throughout the world, and here in the United States. And what that value does is it gives us a foundation. It allows us then to have other pillars where we focus on people, where we focus on finances, where we focus on social responsibility, safety, security. But the foundation are creed and values, where we start out by saying we believe in God and the dignity of all people. And the key there is not only just God and the belief that we have, but also people. And that's what you'll find our greatest assets in this company are people. So throughout that creed and the values of treating others as you want to be treated, the golden rule, it allows me even as a lawyer that when you come to a place and you have your judgment and you have your intellect and your skills, you add this filter, you usually come out on the right side of the answer. And so that's in most decisions we use that. And sometimes when you find yourself adrift, you go back to that foundational aspect and you say, wait a minute, is this within our creed and within our values? Is this who we want to be? Is this how I want to be treated? And uniformly, you arrive at a better decision, if not the best, by doing that and using that as a filter.
I can imagine that makes a difference with your associates, your customers, and your community. Can you comment a little bit on about that, John, about how that having that as a reference point makes a difference across the board with everyone?
Absolutely. It's in your statement, as you said, when you walk in the office, we're different. We don't want to be different. We are who we are. But in this world of a little bit of confusion, we want to be predictable. And how we are is what our creed and values say. So therefore, what it gives many of our customers who I believe align with us, not only because of our values and our creed, but because of the operational excellence that Shelley spoke of, but because it's predictable. They know that we're going to help them innovate. They know we're going to stand by our values. We're going to stand by independent businesses, you know, as you read the rest of the creed and as it goes on, and that we stand for something and that we don't think so much of ourselves that we've done it all by ourselves. In fact, in our creed and values, we talk about their success as being our success. And we truly believe that when we come to most of the equations in our business settings. So for our clients, they view that as both a value add and a commitment to their excellence, which all of us win, and it's the triple win there. They win, we win, and our associates win. So I think our clients like that. We've been able to grow since I've been here in 2004, and it's because of the operational excellence, our ethos, our commitment to our customers, and being invited into new markets because of how we align with them.
Not to make our listeners hungry, but the management great Peter Drucker said, "Culture eats strategy for lunch." So apparently, when you start off with the culture, it filters down all throughout the community what you do and how you do it and who you do it for. Annalisa, what's impacted you the most about the values of your company?
I think what's impacted me the most is what attracted me the most, which is the first line of the creed. We believe in God and the dignity of all people. And I think everything else stems from that. I think the values are aligned with that initial statement. And I find that to be a differentiator. I travel quite a bit all over the country to visit our folks all over the United States. And one thing that really has touched me is the fact that the creed and values are in every single facility, no matter where we are, whether it's in Seattle, whether it's in Miami. That is one thing that really unites us together. And so it impacted me personally because it's what attracted me to it, but it also has enabled me to affirm that it was a great decision because it's something that I see everywhere I go all over the country.
That's fantastic. And that, again, that culture is – permeates everything. They might speak different languages. It might be in different types of facilities, but that culture is a blanket over everything. Now, let's talk about that because you have a Golden State Foods has an employee run and funded charitable organization, the GSF Foundation. Tell us a little bit about its mission and what you're doing lately to help those in need, Annalisa.
The GSF Foundation's mission is to improve the lives of children and families in need wherever GSF associates live and work. So that means it's not just a national foundation, it's really a global foundation. A lot of our focus right now is in the United States. So we have 28 committees that have chairs and committee members who are giving their time above and beyond their day jobs to help us achieve and further that mission of helping children and families in need wherever we live and work. And we do this work a number of ways. One is through grant making, and the other one is through programs. We give away bicycles, backpacks, shoes, and we also give funds to 501c3 nonprofits that provide direct services to children and families in need. One thing that's unique about the foundation is, as you mentioned, it is operated by our people. They own it. And that's a message that I share with them every time I go out. This is your foundation. I want to hear your voices. I want to hear your ideas. And let's make your dreams come true so that we can help the kids and families in need make their dreams come true. The mission is really something that has resonated throughout the community as well, and it's very well accepted wherever we are. Now, one thing that we have been developing over the past year is something that's tied to who we are as a food company. And so we decided that it is essential for us to develop a food program because this is a realm that we work in. So come November 17th to be exact, we are launching an event called Feeding Hunger, a No Lunch Lunch in our Garner, North Carolina facility. because we learned that 1 in 5 children in the United States today are hungry, and they don't know where they're going to get their next meal. And this is just one way for us as a foundation to give back to the community. We will raise awareness, raise some money, and 100% of dollars raised through this lunch event is going back to the community. So again, this is aligned with what we do as a foundation. We raise money, a lot of which is from our associates, and then we give it back to the community with the ideas and the voices of our associates. Phenomenal.
That is phenomenal, and I applaud you for those efforts. It makes tremendous sense, and it has tremendous impact wherever you are helping. And a lot of companies, a lot of our listeners are mature companies who are saying, you know, we should do more. We should get involved. We should help our communities. John, can you give us a little bit of a sense from the top outlook here? How does helping others outside of the company in turn help the company's image?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think what it does, it becomes both that differentiator. And as you may well know, Bill, that the millennials and the different generations, they have diverse viewpoints. And sometimes mm-hmm. they select companies by not who they are, but what they do and what they do, not in terms of what they make. And so we've decided long ago, decades ago, but now you have a name for it, it's called social responsibility, to be about the community, to do the work that Annalisa just mentioned and what Shelley referenced earlier. So that image, while it's important, not for image sake, it's really important because it allows us to attract top talent, diverse talent. And then once they're here, we get the best thinking, the best leadership, the best products, the best innovation. And we think because of how we decided to be, we are able to attract a cadre of talent for that reason. So when you think about the other companies that focus on the bottom line, what we would like for them to do in concert with us, because we want a better society, a better economy, is to focus on what we call the triple bottom line, which is people, profit, and planet. And I think with that, it's okay to be a profitable enterprise, but you also got to think of how do you perpetuate that by preserving assets and resources for future generations. So image, in that sense, how to Sprite commercial, obey your thirst, and our thirst is to make sure that mm-hmm. others are thinking about how to be better. And that's why we have such programs as the foundation, our CSR programs, diversity, our community programs, because we want to attract the best talent and do for our communities where we live and work. And we found through our surveying of our associates internally, they like it. And this is what they want to do. And they're happier. They're more productive. And they're committed to staying with us. Where you see people leaving jobs after 2 or 3 months or even after a year, we've given them a sustaining principle of being able to do well for communities.
You know, I kind of see the pattern here of today, especially you mentioned millennials, and a lot of people are saying, you know, I'd like to come work for you. I'd like to know what you will pay me, but I also want to know even more, what do we stand for? And I can just picture in your organization a new hire getting not only a packet that tells them about the 401k, but about the foundation and what we're doing together to make the world a better place. And that's so on the mark for how companies need to be thinking these days.
Absolutely. We try to show them in very creative fashion, you know, that we're a company that's already spent over $36 million in 12 years for the good of the community, that we've have over 66% diverse population, women and minorities, in a global company that Shelley gave you the numbers. And, you know, unlike Silicon Valley, which is trying to struggle to figure out how to include people, not only have we gone for diversity, but we've figured out how to use inclusion to our advantage by promoting and retaining the right people so that, guess what, we could win as a company so we could do better for our communities. So you're absolutely right. We use that as both a lead and a pull to bring folks aboard. And if that's focused on image, then that's what we'll focus on.
Now, we just have a couple minutes left, but I understand that you're the presenting sponsor of the upcoming 7-Pillar Influence for Good recognition next month. Can you share why you decided to support that event, Shelley?
Yes, I'm happy to. We are so excited to be sponsoring this first annual event, which we're sure will be very, very special. We at GSF enjoy partnering with like-minded organizations that share and reward our common values of integrity, respect, giving back to the community, as you just heard from John and Annalisa. And, of course, we always talk about servant-style leadership at the company. So we had partnered with the Passkeys organization in the past and truly trusted their leadership, their area of focus, and their commitment to quality and integrity. And so with the Institute for Influential Community Impact, which is an initiative of Passkeys, we particularly appreciated how they're really leveraging community leaders in a wide variety of organizations to help move everyone forward. So we know that everyone who attends the Seven Pillar event on November 2nd will be in for a huge treat. So we're very excited for this event. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you know, there are movements happening in communities that are trying to bring together all of the factions of that community, whether it's government or education or religion or other areas that nonprofits and the needs of the community, and help people understand what all those needs are all in one place. Because a lot of times we get together to do good, but we do it in kind of a silo, and we don't know that, hey, you know, what we do here might benefit this other group over there. So you guys are right in the heart of one of the best things that's happening. I'm really, really impressed and proud for all that you've done at Golden State Foods and GSF's foundation and what's going on there. And again, I want to thank my guests, Shelley Fry, John Page, and Annalisa Lukes, for coming on and really telling us how GSF, Golden State Foods, is leading the way in really getting their hands around how do we help? Yeah, we want to be a profitable organization, but we also want to help, and we want that to be what we're known for. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. It's been a real pleasure to have you. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after I click all these buttons. We'll be right back after this. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from Exit Coach Radio here on AM 830. You know, one of the biggest questions I get from the show is what exactly goes into a business exit plan and when should I start creating mine? I always tell people the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know, and you can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. Do it right now. Text exit plan to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio. For Exit Coach Radio, I'm Spike Reel.